Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley in another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, but this is my favorite series of the week that we do. It's a Culinary Atlanta series. Katie, are you fired up?
I'm always fired up about food.
I know you do enjoy eating.
I do.
Well, we got with us today a couple of folks from Handpicked Atlanta. We got Anderson and John. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. So Handpicked Atlanta, which one of you is going to be the one that explains that to the world?
I can explain it to the world. By the way, I mean, we both can, but
Anderson's best.
So basically, yeah, Handpicked Atlanta is the best of what to do and where to go in Atlanta. We do something similar to kind of what you guys do in highlighting the best locally owned businesses here in Atlanta. I would say like a heavy percentage of that is culinary experiences. Mm-hmm. So whether that's dinner for twos or, curated dinner experiences. We also work with health and wellness. We work with all the greatest local breweries and distilleries, as well as, cool events and festivals around town.
Now, you guys are Handpicked Atlanta. Are there Handpicked other markets or is it just local here?
That's a great question. So our focus right now is on Atlanta. That's where the company was founded and started, but who knows what the future has in store.
Now, what is your take on the food scene here in Atlanta?
John?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean. There's a lot of stuff going on right now in the food scene. Anderson and I talk about this all the time. I guess one of the things that most frequently we've been talking about is sort of our passion of trying to find these more authentic flavors here in Atlanta.
Prefer the authentic than the fusion?
Yeah,
mashups.
I mean, I don't even have a problem with fusion. It's more of like there's a lot of restaurants in Atlanta that I feel like are putting an emphasis on ambiance or like interior decorating and
less on food.
And so when we're talking about like looking for that flavor, it's, trying to find the places that are concerned about menu.
And keep in mind, that can be a fusion restaurant too.
Yeah, that can totally be a fusion restaurant.
Now, what's your take on the scene here? There's a ton of independent restaurants. I would say more than the average market in the country.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of chains, like a lot of franchises use Atlanta as kind of the beginnings of their franchise.
Like Chick-fil-A.
Right, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But, how do you kind of differentiate, or are you only mom and pop, or do you focus at all on some of these chains? Because of the chains try to make it seem like they're not a chain.
Yeah, restaurant groups are really good at sort of distancing themselves from like being a franchise rather than like just being like actually mom and pop. We don't mind working, we like restaurant groups. There's some restaurant groups we work with that are fantastic.
Are local.
Yeah,
and maybe
Castellucci Group is fantastic. Right. Ford Fry has obviously done very well. But for us, it's just really trying to recognize like where people's passions are. I mean, I read an article, I think on Atlanta Eater, that summed things up for me really well. And the person that was writing the commentary on like restaurants in 2017, trends they noticed, and there's like a lot of restaurants that are, we were inspired by Hemingway. And so we named our thing off of one, Old Man in the Sea and like did all this kind of
bell tolls.
Yeah. But like, it just, we like flavor. So we were just working with the two dudes that own the new ramen shop, Lifting Noodle and mm-hmm. Wisuki Suki. And those guys are great because they definitely own more than one business. They do the Pokeberry and they have a couple of locations that are opening. But even though they're doing more than one thing, they've maintained their flavor. They've maintained like who they are. They care about their ingredients and they just have a really amazing, establishment that's enjoyable to go back to.
Now, what about, do you guys focus more inside the perimeter or outside the perimeter, or are you agnostic in that regard?
So I think the focus is always going to be on the best of what to do and where to go in Atlanta. And so most of it is going to be inside the perimeter. But with that said, there are some restaurants that are outside the perimeter that we deem to be phenomenal and really, really high quality restaurants. And we were talking about this earlier. It's not necessarily just a barbecue joint, but shout out to the people down there. They're doing the Korean fusion barbecue, heirloom barbecue.
Yeah, so good.
So we'll work.
Buford Highway, there's places that we work with, especially for like some of the dim sum type operations that are really, really great too. So
we're not like anti-OTP, but yeah, there's more restaurants ITP for sure.
Sure. And the density of independent restaurants there are much higher.
Correct.
Now, talk about Buford Highway a little bit for people who aren't as maybe adventurous to go down and work the Buford Highway restaurant scene there. There's so many different ethnic communities there, and the restaurants are, that's like hardcore stuff, right? You're getting the, that's where that ethnic group will be eating is in one of those restaurants a lot of times. Talk about how you guys discover new stuff there.
I mean, honestly, for me, and this might seem a little nerdy, is Reddit is a huge, wonderful tool that you can use. You can get onto the Atlanta restaurant subreddit, and there's tons of great recommendations about places to go. And the other thing that makes Buford Highway neat is that the expanse of those restaurants is so big that you don't need to go to the same place twice.
So,
yeah, you
exactly.
can go to a new place every time. So for like me personally, what I'll try to do, and my brother and my cousin are really good about like once a week on Sundays, trying to go to Buford Highway and eating at a new place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of us will have heard about something through word of mouth, or we'll find something on Reddit and just go try it out, you know?
Yeah. Now, people who don't do it are missing out, by the way.
They are.
For sure. Yeah,
I mean, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I've even seen there's even tours of Buford Highway.
Yeah, so we actually did a tour with somebody very recently. Well, I say very recently, probably like 6 months ago. But it was extremely successful. It was of the farmer's market
on Buford Highway. Right,
yeah, and if you're a farmer's market person, you haven't been out there, you're really missing out.
That's like the United Nations.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. And you get such a good like international sense on Buford Highway.
I think that's one of the things that is very unique to Atlanta is that we have that level of authenticity, but because maybe it's a little outside of what people are used to, they don't travel that way and go check it out.
Well, it's not Whole Foods, but it's like, I mean, this is the real deal. Like they have aisles of just from Germany, the actual packaged goods from Germany. Right. And like it's not, there's Asian stuff there. There's the meats and the fish from all these different countries, the fruits from these different countries. It's really an amazing experience. And like you said, people are missing out by not checking them out.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. For me, Buford Highway is probably one of the most distinguishing like aspects of Atlanta.
Right.
You know, when you look at other cities, at least in America, you have these really segregated like Chinatown, Japantown, Koreatown, like everything is really separated from each other. But Buford Highway, although it is like outside the perimeter.
Well, it's inside and outside.
It isn't. Right? Yeah, yeah. But like the good stuff is it's
outside.
Deep, yeah. But
because rent's cheaper.
Yeah. But you get like every different kind of life.
Yeah.
Cuisine,
you just drive down the road
Asian
and you're seeing different sign
everything.
In different
it's
languages.
A melting pot.
Yeah.
And it really
and
is.
That really is special to Atlanta. I'm, you know, I feel that.
Yeah, there's also that, you know, even if you're like super afraid to like just keep driving and checking out different restaurants, there's like food courts too. That you
oh, amazing
where,
food
right.
courts.
Where they
yeah.
have like 8 or 9 different like restaurants right there. So
right. And the thing I think that's maybe intimidating for the regular layperson who isn't as familiar with the Reddit subgroups is that every strip center has like 10 restaurants that are packed.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, how do you know which one is the good one and which one is the not so good one?
The secret is they're all good.
They are all good.
Isn't
all
that
good
weird?
Ones. And the ones with like the ones that are, you know, where you go in and you, as an American, you're like worried about not speaking English and, or only speaking English and that kind of thing.
Those are the really good ones.
Those are the really,
say the less you can understand on the menu, the better the food is.
Yes.
Kind of are.
So now, so that's Buford Highway. Are there any other pockets in town that you guys like to frequent?
I mean, all the neighborhoods right now are really mixed between like new and old development. But we've already mentioned it in this conversation already, I think. But Anderson and I love La Fruta. We were just there the other day, like Myrna, the owner, she's a fantastic person. She owns it with her brother and they have a really interesting thing where on first glance, you go in there and you think it's this like Cuban establishment because mm-hmm. of all the like the bright colors right. and the style of sandwich that they have. But it's not actually a Cuban restaurant. There's like flavors from El Salvador, like all kinds of different stuff going on in there.
Yeah, and Mirna's actually from Ecuador, so, she's got Peruvian flavors. It's phenomenal. I actually had lunch there for the first time the other day. I was definitely a noob. But
I mean, they've been around for, you know, more than one decade and have been in a neighborhood of Atlanta that's like recently become very, very, very developed. So we really like Lotta Fruta.
We mentioned Wisuki Suki earlier. That's like that EAV area. There's a lot of really good restaurants, some good bars down there, octopus bars down there.
Yeah, the Soba Octopus Bar, 8 Arm, like everything that those guys do is pretty 10 out of 10.
I was really excited to see what Angus was going to be doing for the future of Atlanta food. It was really sad to hear about his passing.
Yeah.
What about the Beltline? How does that impact the food scene?
I think it impacts it hugely. I mean, in a huge way, right? We've got restaurants that have been on the Beltline for a little while now, like Lady Bird. But we've got all sorts of new stuff that's popping up in areas that maybe weren't as accessible before. Is it New Realm Brewing? There's a new brewing company.
Right on the Beltline.
Yeah, and their place is beautiful. I mean, the Garage, not Dad's Garage, but the Garage, it's Monday Night Brewing's new location, is on the west side where the Beltline is going to be further developed.
Right.
So you now start to see local companies like expanding to areas where maybe they didn't have the accessibility before with the promise of the Beltline.
I mean, the long-haired hipster in me wants to make snarky comments about the Beltline.
Well, this gentrification must be, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
for you,
it's
right?
killing John.
But there's a lot of really fun things that the Beltline has done for Atlanta. And we were just talking about earlier, Pond City Market is one of those places that for like a while now, I was like, man, it's just a mall. Like only people from, you know, way out there come in, and like, it's not really like a city thing, but I was just there recently and you realize
we won't judge you.
That's what I'm going to say.
Judge him real hard.
And like all of my hipster friends are going to be so mad at me about this, but Pond City Market is cool.
It is.
Like there's
let's
good
not get
stuff
carried
there.
Away.
Like, he said, let's not get carried away. It is though. I mean, it's a historic building. There's good food.
Citizen Supply is a great retail store.
All cool local brands.
Right. And I think it would be easy to, you know, for a lot of reasons, dismiss it. But like as a whole, long-term, I think that kind of development where even if it's not as pure as Lotta Fruta is, there's still this passion for like interesting experiences, bringing cool new flavors and
local.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be as authentic as the stuff we know and love on Buford Highway, but for like the general, you know, population, Pond City Market is awesome.
What about Croc Street? You like that?
I actually personally like Croc Street better than Pond
City. I like Croc Street better too because it's not as busy.
I think the food's more authentic too.
Yeah, I'm claustrophobic, so I don't like being around other people. Yeah. But Fred's has probably hands down my favorite cheesesteak in Atlanta.
Right.
I love meat and cheese, so it's pretty easy to get me on that one.
Yeah.
And then these little kind of neighborhoods, like we talked about a little bit about the gentrification double-edged sword. When they're coming in, sometimes they're driving out the original, authentic, and then they're either going out of business or they're moving away farther somewhere else that you got to kind of discover. Are you finding now new pockets that maybe have been undiscovered?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little new to the Atlanta area, so like I have a pretty good sense of geography, ITP. But there's a neighborhood, and you guys might have to help me, like to the east of Atlanta. It's like between Lawrenceville and Atlanta, but they have this amazing like sense of community with different types of African cuisines. Mm-hmm. I don't know how or why, but there's really great like Nigerian, Ethiopian restaurants and like all kinds of other stuff too. But it's just, we've talked about this neighborhood before, but
I don't want to get it wrong.
Is it Snellville?
It's somewhere around that
I think
area.
You may be referring to Chambly.
No, not Chambly. But my point is that I definitely, obviously, like, there's no way to argue like gentrification like shakes things up and it does have negative impacts on like the pioneers of a neighborhood.
Right.
But I think you can look at like Decatur, which is, you know, a neighborhood that I think has gone through a great deal of gentrification, like arguably some of the most gentrification
right.
that Atlanta has had. And
or the Old Fourth Ward.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, Old Fourth Ward is another great example. And like there is stuff that you lose, but there's a lot of stuff that stays, like Lotta Fruta.
Right.
And, you know, those businesses that stay like add a charm that the new businesses could never bring.
Right. And I think it forces them to kind of embrace that kind of authenticity as part of their at least kind of look and feel.
Yeah.
So at least you kind of stay in the ballpark of what it used to be.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I think we can't knock Pond City Market, because it's like, you know, we could tear down it like RIP Murder Kroger. Like we could tear it down and just build a skyscraper. But instead of doing that.
Right. Well, they embrace the kind of look and feel of the
Sears robot building. Right. Yeah.
And I do wonder too, sometimes I'm a little too young to know if this is true in life, but I do wonder if sometimes the new establishments that come, if they aren't themselves going through a similar effect of the good ones stay and last a long time and the bad ones go out with the tide. Like, not all of this new business that, you know,
comes along is bad.
Yeah, not all of it is bad, but not all of it is good.
No, some of it is bad. But competition's always good.
That's what I guess I'm trying to say is, like, I do think that the competition has been good for the food industry in general.
Right. I mean, I think that, I don't know how they do it. I mean, you guys probably have a better feel than I do in the regards of, like we were saying, that there's so many good restaurants.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
How do they all make it? I mean, it's just, like, you as a consumer can only eat so much. You know, how many times are you going out to eat and who are you choosing? Like, you have favorites that you mentioned that maybe you go more often,
right?
But they can't make a living off of you going twice a month as opposed to once a month,
True.
And so how do they really stay on top of their game to, you know, have that kind of community of patrons that keep them in business?
Well, Lee, let me tell you how they do it. They go to handpickedatlanta.com.
That's what they do. So tell me, why don't we talk about how you guys help and serve that kind of mom and pop clientele?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first and foremost, the local businesses in Atlanta, we love and support. So our approach to working with these businesses is always to try to bring a more of a partnership mentality to this than a pitch or we're going to sell you hard on something that maybe wouldn't work with your business or with your whatever marketing initiative you're trying to accomplish this year. Instead, what we'll do is we'll come in, we'll be like, okay, what new dinner service or new lunch service or item menu, or if you're a gym, you know, what area, what classes are you trying to push? I mean, if it's a higher end restaurant who doesn't need any help with dinner service, maybe we're talking to you about a curated whiskey tasting. Maybe we're talking to you about a six course dinner.
Right. Or it might be, let's beef up the weekday lunch.
Right. Know? Or lunch for two. Yeah. Right. We do things like that as well. And so that's kind of the approach that we take that I think ultimately serves the mom and pop shops the best, because it's not like we're, for example, you brought up Groupon, but it's not like we're coming in, we're like, you need to do 50% off or else
we're not interested.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's silly. If we really want to work with the best of what to do and the cool local stuff in Atlanta, then our focus needs to be on helping to grow their business.
Right, and what serves them and what's their objective they're trying to meet.
Exactly. And if we can't do that, then we won't work with you.
Right, it might not be a good fit.
And if we drive all the local businesses out of business, then ultimately we drive ourselves out of business. Right. Because they're who we're representing.
Right, it's not sustainable.
Exactly.
Now, you get part of your job, one of the perks, I guess, is you get to explore all these new places and find places you like and don't
like. That's probably our biggest perk, number one. Right.
Lots of free food.
Free food, right.
And not even just free food, but being able to experience things, you know,
we'll pay for
in
it.
The beginning. like the lifting noodles, the ramen shop in Wisukisuki that just opened on the 16th.
So
we
good.
Had our first bowl, like, you know, in the beginning of January, or maybe even in December. I'm not sure. But anyways, that's for sure a perk.
Now, how rewarding is it when you find one of these places and then you start working with them and all of a sudden they start doing well? Do you have any stories?
That's the greatest.
I mean, I think you should tell the story of Julie and Peachtree Curling.
Oh, yeah. So this isn't necessarily food related, but we work with Georgia's only internationally recognized ice curling club.
Yes.
I'm not sure if y'all are familiar
I'm very
with
familiar.
Ice curling.
It is. The Winter Olympics is coming.
Yeah. Yeah, for those who aren't familiar, you throw a rock or you slide a rock on a boulder, I think.
Come on.
And then you sweep it.
And then you sweep it, and then it stops.
But exactly. It's kind of an obscure, random thing to be in Georgia, you know, especially with our weather or whatever. But they set up an ice curling rink in Marietta, And we started working out with them sometime last year. I'm not sure when. We were all kind of, you know, to be honest, we were a little
skeptical,
bit unsure.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't want to say doubtful of the business,
right?
But unsure of how our customers would respond. And they've loved it, flipped out.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can't.
Julie invites us down every season, you know, to bring our whole company
season.
To curl for free.
There's
because
curling season?
Yeah, there really is.
It's highly competitive. I went into it a little bit, you know, like.
So you actually you did it?
Yeah, we did it. And I went into it like, no one's going to be that serious about it. Like, we're in Georgia.
Right.
But we go in and I'm in like my Van sneakers, you know, and like
is there
normal,
special
clear.
Curling
yeah, they have
shoes?
Special curling
oh, yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, you have to put on the curling
a
rubber.
Special broom. Like, I was given like a squeegee. Like, everybody else had like real brooms. But it's a ton of fun and people have really loved it. And the Peachtree Curling Association, that's the name of their organization, has in turn, you know, been really grateful to us, you know, because we have a really nice relationship and brought them in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that, you know, we did so well that they had to like stop selling classes through us so they could make some of their, sell some on their own. So, which is great. We always love when that happens. Another example is Vesta Movement in Old Fourth Ward. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Mm-hmm. They're also not a culinary example, but they come to mind because we did one promotion where we featured their brand new kickboxing gym. Are you familiar with them?
No.
Okay, cool. So they're awesome. You got to check them out. It's a woman-owned organization and they do a lot of really empowering stuff. It's super awesome. But they sold 200 classes with us. It sold out in like 30 days. And then I've hit them up every like, you know, 6 months or so since then, just checking in. How's it going? We're amazing. You know, we don't need any help with anything. You know, it's so crazy how quickly it picked up. And so I think a few examples like that definitely stick out to us where, you know, we maybe even did too good of a job.
Or you jumpstart them enough where they get the momentum on their own to continue,
right.
Which you guys are probably good with, right?
Yeah.
That's,
oh, still, I love
that's it. Still a win,
rewarding.
Right?
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing too, because not everybody that we work with needs to work with us.
Right.
Like, we work with Kevin Gillespie really, really regularly.
Yeah, needs you.
No, yeah, he doesn't need us.
Yes,
at all.
He does.
He doesn't need anybody. He's right. Hugely he's, successful.
Yeah. Go check out his new restaurant, Game Changer, at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's amazing.
But it's a pleasure to work with him, and it's really nice to have like the mix of people that you know we do business with, because it's everybody from somebody. We have this Cuban restaurant that just opened up in Roswell, and we're really excited about working with them. But they need us a little bit more than, you know, Kevin Gillespie. But we do the same for both of them, and it's really fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Now, do you find that, and this is what we find in this show here, is that the culinary community is very collaborative. Like, they're always looking to help each other, and they don't really view it as competition. Oh, there's another one next door.
Right.
A lot of times we've had chefs embrace, like, we're happy. We want more restaurants next to us because that brings more people. And then maybe they're not going to come today to us, but they'll come next week to us. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, 100%. I do. I was going to say, I don't think that, and we touched on this earlier, John, but I don't think that competition is really a bad thing ever. And
no, it's
the business owners that are really confident in their product aren't ever going to be afraid of competition. In fact, they're going to welcome it because, you know, it will not only strive or cause them to strive to be better, but it also, you know, any time you've got like all the hottest people working together, it's gonna build up hype. People are gonna get excited about it, and I think that's why you see so much collaboration in Atlanta. You know, I think of White Oak Pastures, and they just recently had Ford Fry, Kevin Gillespie, and I believe Steven Satterfield from Miller Union all do a talk together over at Pond City Market. We actually sold tickets to it with the Big Green Egg. So it's like this big collaboration of super, super talented chefs who don't necessarily need to work with each other, but I think they do. And that's also representative of the Atlanta scene as well. You know, lots of businesses do that.
I'll tell you, I think
it's true with the brewing scene as well. The brewery scene is really
the craft brewing.
Yeah, they want to help each other and they want, you know, more and more people.
Because they want Atlanta to be known as craft brewing.
I think we're starting to, too.
And I think that's an interesting time that we're in with Atlanta. You know, I think we as residents of Atlanta or citizens of Atlanta feel like there's like all this growth and how could we ever keep up with it all? And there's no, you know, it's no way we need this many restaurants. But if you go to other cities, they have more restaurants than we have now. And it's actually good for the food movement to have all of these businesses because, you know, if I'm going out to eat, it's more fun to me to like go try like an appetizer here and then have a drink right. at this place. And then, you know, you get to try all these different things rather than like binging on one place. Right. Over
when there's
and over
only
again.
One favorite place.
Right. Yeah. So it's good to see the new stuff popping up like that.
Now, one of my favorite moments in here happened with Kevin Rathbun and this other person that owned he just started his first pizza place.
So he nice combo.
So he didn't know who Kevin Rathbun was.
Oh,
so
well,
Kevin Rathbun was sitting there.
By name.
What? He didn't know who he was at all. He was just some young person who owned a mom and pop pizza place. So Kevin Rathbun was sitting actually in that chair to my left. And then the pizza guy was sitting where you're sitting, Anderson. And the pizza guy is trying to help Kevin with, this was at a time when, when texting offers was new. So he was all excited about texting offers. So he wanted to explain it to Kevin. And this is before the show began. So they're just chatting, right? So he's like, hey, I'm Kevin. I have a steak place. And this guy, hi, I'm Bob. I have a pizza place, right? So they're just talking, two restaurant people out there battling. And so we do the show, we start the show, and then we go around the table. Usually we have more than one guest. And we go around and each person has a segment. So we got to Kevin Rathbun. It's like Iron Chef, like, you know, winner of Chop. It's like the credentials like longer than your arm.
Right.
And this kid's like, you know, his mouth opens up. But at the end, Kevin was so gracious. He was like, look, I can't wait to check out your pizza place. And then they exchange cards.
That's great.
And it was like, here, you're talking about somebody who is at the top of his game with somebody who is just starting out. And Kevin was treating him as equals. And it was just a really nice moment in here that we got to see. And that's how I feel. That's what kind of spurred us to really want to continue this kind of culinary series where we're talking about this group that is collaborative and they want to tell each other a story and they want to help each other be successful because it is such a hard industry to really be successful in.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we see a lot of people here in Atlanta trying to start all sorts of things that I think are outside of the box.
Right. Like you mentioned that the Korean barbecue.
Yeah, like heirloom. Yeah.
Right, heirloom.
Yeah. I think I've never been to a restaurant like heirloom before ever.
Right.
And their mac and cheese and their pulled pork is just like out of this world, you know? And so I think there's a lot of that popping up in Atlanta, and that'll be super exciting to see because I think a lot of that is the outcome of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
People getting inspired. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff happening in Atlanta.
Now, at Handpicked ATL or Handpicked Atlanta, how do you guys really foster that sense of community? Do you do any kind of, hey, you should connect with these guys? Do you do any of that community building?
I mean, there's a very, very, very talented young chef. She's not attached to a restaurant formally. But her name is Sung Lee, and she's most popular through her Instagram channel, Everyday Korean, Korean Fusion is the Instagram handle. But she just did a cookbook called Everyday Korean, and it's a number one bestseller for cookbooks on Amazon and it's blowing up all over the internet. She's traveling around doing a book tour with it. We have a relationship with her, and she wanted to do like a cooking demonstration workshop. Plus, you know, letting people get a signed copy of her book. And she wanted to do it through us. And, you know, so we introduced her to our friend Lynn, who owns the Learning Kitchen in Sweet Auburn Curb Market. And she did the workshop there. So we're oftentimes introducing.
So you actually helped her create an event.
Yeah.
Like she had an idea for an event, but you helped her logistically kind of put it together.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And find a fun kitchen.
A venue that was the right
place
right.
to do the talk.
Sometimes we'll bring in somebody like Nick from Wild Heaven Brewery and have them, you know, offer the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, so we do that kind of thing all the time.
The collaborations are great. And I think that as cool as it is to be able to see new business come to restaurants and, you know, stuff opening up here in Atlanta through Handpicked Atlanta, the biggest sense of fulfillment I get is when I'm able to, you know, create those connections.
Right.
Even if it's just helping a new chef get introduced to a marketing firm here in town that might be able to help their audience grow or, you know, whatever it may be, even if it's not as sexy as a Korean cooking workshop, like there's tons of introductions that we make to people that just feel good.
Yeah.
Now, do you help, like, obviously part of what you do is curate, right? For the person who isn't the chef or doesn't have the restaurant, this, the lay person that's out there, you're Is it they subscribe to your blog? Like, how do they kind of stay in the loop for what activity you guys are working on?
Yeah, that's so there's a couple ways you can. You can go to the App Store on an iPhone or Android and download our app, which is Handpicked Atlanta. And that'll show you, that'll subscribe you to our e-newsletter, and it'll show you on an app everything that we're doing. We still have some of those, what we call local perks, where you can go into, you know, mostly counter service places, but get the 50% off for your first experience. Mm-hmm. But the heavy majority is showing those curated experiences. So you can see that on the app, but you can also just go to handpickedatlanta.com. And there's a subscribe button there if you want to subscribe to our newsletter. But the newsletter is usually how we communicate with people via email. Mm-hmm. We also have
How often does that come out?
So we send an email once a day.
Once a day.
Yeah, with new content, new content Monday through Friday. And then we feature our bestsellers or our, you know, most unique stuff on the weekends.
And the blasts are varied too. We try to be really respectful of like holidays and, you know, not being annoying with our newsletters too.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty straightforward content. It's really nice and easy to digest. If you don't want to read it, you just delete it. I mean, right. But at the end of the day, it's a really great way to check out new places and to hear about new places as opposed to, like we were saying, going to the same place.
Now, when you spotlight a restaurant or a gym or whatever it is, whoever your client is, how many are on a typical newsletter in a given day? Is it like kind of, you have a running, you have a running list every day that's, you know, like 50 or 100, or is it like the top two or five?
So John, I'll let you, John. So John curates every single daily email.
So it depends on the type of email. But if you're asking about the spotlight of a new feature that we're doing for somebody, the daily email is about 300,000 people. And that's people here in the metro.
So that's the people who subscribe to it?
Those are the people that are subscribed to it. It's a pretty good, strong list. You know, we have a great set of consumers that are readily watching our stuff every day. They're, you know, it's really good mix of guys and girls. They're between the ages of 20 and 35. So it's a pretty young crowd. Yeah. Most of them are.
But the merchants that you're spotlighting, how many are you typically spotlighting?
I'm sorry. I thought you meant like how many subscribers do we have in our email? We have usually one main feature every day, and then we introduce or refeature 6 to 8 new businesses.
That's kind
on
of
top
a rolling
of
the mm-hmm. past,
yeah,
of the past features that we featured.
But each new email has one main highlight.
Right.
The reason for having just one main highlight is it allows the person like a focus. We don't, you know, want people to feel bombarded with like three new things.
Right.
If you're one of those people that hates having newsletters in your inbox, then the other thing I recommend is kind of like a light version of that for us, which is just following us on Instagram or Twitter. We do Facebook as well, but I think Instagram and Twitter are our most, used social media sites. And we post, you know, every once in a while what we're doing in terms of features and stuff, but it's also just content. So it's not necessarily like you're being sold something.
Right. So you're not pitching all the time.
Right.
Most of the time you're just trying to educate people of what's out there.
Right. Yeah. The Instagram is a great place for people that are new to Handpicked Atlanta to go and check us out first. Mm-hmm. Because we not only have a more curated selection of our features on our Instagram, but it's also a pretty good amount of fun happening things here in Atlanta that aren't necessarily like things you buy from us.
Right.
You know, just like really, really cool art that you can see on the Beltline and you know, really great little corners in Piedmont Park that most people don't know about.
Right. So, it's off the beaten path.
Yeah. Our favorite coffee shop.
Yeah. So we give a lot of, you know, content that is organic to us away
for
free.
There's not necessarily they're a sponsor or something.
Yeah, there's no, you know, so I would say the majority of our social media content is like non-sponsored, non-sales.
You're just trying to serve that group.
Literally just free information about cool stuff to do in Atlanta.
It's kind of similar to the approach that we take towards our merchants in that like if we were to just be selling them something all the time, nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be sold something all the time. And it's kind of the same thing with customers, with consumers like you and me. Like if I really am wooed by a brand, it's not because they continually try to sell me something. It's because they offer me something that's different, that I'm interested in, that I want to look at. And so that's kind of the approach that we take. It's more about the why of discovering local and showing that to people than it is about, you know, necessarily selling people. I mean, we are a business, but...
Right, but it's not... And I think that's a mistake a lot of businesses make is they're so focused on selling, they're not focused on serving.
Yeah.
And the more you're serving, usually the better it is for your business in the long run.
100%. And I think one of the things that's cool about working with Anderson is he's, you know, we're a lot the same way. If we wanted a job that was just about the selling of something, we would go work for Comcast or something like that.
Right,
you know,
exactly. Like
in a cubicle.
There's a lot of the, you know, there's one of the perks, one of the fun parts of our job is being able to gain this information, but also share it as well.
Right. And that's the rewarding part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay, so if somebody wanted to learn more, you said the App Store, just Handpicked Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You go on there, go to, what's the exact URL?
And handpickedatlanta.com.
Handpicked Atlanta and Handpicked
Instagram
ATL.
Is Handpicked ATL.
Mm-hmm. And that's the Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being part of the show.
Oh, happy to be
fun.
Here.
Yeah, thank you
awesome.
For having
thank
us.
You so
and
much.
Then you are looking for, though, merchants that want to use the platform to grow. That is the business model.
Yeah,
though, right?
We have, I mean, any new Atlanta or already existing Atlanta businesses that wanted to reach out to us, it's help@handpickedatlanta.com. And we, you know, love to go and meet new restaurant owners, especially.
Yeah. John, do we have a 10%
if you just
code?
Type
it's
in,
a, it's a deal. We
yeah,
have a deal.
If you go
happening.
To, you know, if you were to buy something,
ring the deal bell.
Ring the deal.
Oh, yeah, ring the deal bell.
Do we have one?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Okay. I was like, you guys have bits. And everything. No, it's the code is really simple. It's HOMIEHOOKUP10.
A HOMIEHOOKUP10.
Capital H on the homie,
of
capital
course.
H on the hookup.
That's how we usually do it. Yeah, that's
so if you enter that at the checkout of our website, you get a percentage discount off your first purchase.
And we're not going to tell you what percentage.
Yeah,
I'm
going to have to find out.
The 10.
It might be
I'll
10.
Let you do the math.
You might want to try Homie Hookup 100. See what happens.
I mean, go try around. Bounce some numbers around. See what happens. Good. I wouldn't stop anyone. Yeah.
Good
do you
stuff.
Guys work with Dad's Garage too?
My son takes classes there. He's
oh, yeah, we
with
work
Dad's
with
Garage.
Those guys are great.
Yeah,
we love them.
They have a great operation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good stuff. It's not just restaurants. You guys are good for merchants of all kinds, but you focus on mom and pops here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that is handpickedatlanta.com for more. Thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
all
you.
Right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.